Support for KPLU comes from Alaska Airlines, introducing their new flight experience, Alaska Beyond, where passengers can watch movies on their own device, experience a new Northwest-inspired menu, and recharge with power outlets at their seat. More at alaskaair.com.
This is Northwest News on KPLU. When the Iron Curtain fell more than 20 years ago, Eastern Europe began changing. Nowhere is that more evident than in the Czech Republic, which is where we find our travel expert Matthew Brumley. He spoke to KPLU's Ed Ronko.
Matthew Brumley, you're in Prague.
I am, Ed. I'm actually standing on a little balcony from my hotel room. I'm staying at this gorgeous Art Nouveau hotel from, dates back to about 1910. And from this little balcony, I can see the Old Town Square, Prague Castle, and just the gorgeous spires of this city.
The Prague is in the Czech Republic.
It is the capital of the Czech Republic and, Ed, the capital of Bohemia. So many people aren't aware that the Czech Republic really has two very distinct regions. One is Bohemia, which is famous for its gorgeous little villages and its spa towns and Czech beer, Pilsner. And then the eastern part of the country that kind of butts up against Poland, which is called Moravia. And Moravia has towns like Olomouc and just gorgeous little villages as well. But the Moravians produce a lot of wine. So when you go out to a restaurant here in Prague, you can order great Czech beers or delicious Czech wines.
When people talk about the great European capitals, they talk about Paris and London and Rome. And I don't know that Prague makes the list. And it sounds like it should.
It should. It certainly, I think for many travelers, it's right up there with Paris as being one of the most beautiful cities in the world. And I think one of the reasons is that Prague was never destroyed by the Nazis in World War II. It was going to be a regional capital for the Nazi Empire. And for that reason, it's just this beautiful open-air museum. And there's so many different layers of architecture. I mean, I'm looking at this gorgeous church, the Church of Our Lady, which is from the Middle Ages, with these Gothic towers and spires heading towards the sky. And then to the right of me is this beautiful Baroque building, and then to the left, a neoclassical building. I mean, architects and architectural lovers just can't get enough of this city.
And Bohemia, Matthew, of course, you know, we have a whole kind of culture that descends from that, a freewheeling, artistic kind of feel when we describe something as Bohemian.
That's right. And there's even a district in Paris that's called literally the Left Bank, the Bohemian District. And it was because Czechs, who were political exiles and artists and free thinkers, like you said, moved to Paris in the 18th and 19th century. And there's a beautiful opera that even depicts the poor Czech Bohemians in Paris called La Boheme by Puccini. It's a very interesting culture. They had, prior to World War II, the largest Unitarian population on the planet. They're very intellectual. And today, the Czechs have the largest atheist population. So they're not really big churchgoers here.
Yeah, they still are famous for church buildings.
They are. And in the center of the Old Town Square, so if you come here, no one would miss the Old Town Square. You have this beautiful Baroque church called the St. Nicholas Church. And then you have the Church of Our Lady, and the very center of the town square, there's this giant statue of Jan Hus. And probably many people have heard of the Hussites. Well, these were kind of the first Protestants, and again, free thinkers. The free-thinking Czechs actually rebelled against the Catholic Church. And Jan Hus, it's kind of a complicated story, but Jan Hus was burnt at the stake. And he's kind of a national hero. And there in the center of the old town, you'll find this statue of him kind of rising up through the ashes. And it's very dramatic.
Where's your favorite place to be in the Czech Republic?
Oh, that's a tough one. I love southern Bohemia, which is up kind of against Austria and Bavaria. There's so many pretty little villages there. One in particular I like so much called Český Krumlov. And it's just a beautiful, gorgeous little village with this giant castle. And it's right next to another town that I like very much called Český Budovice. And Budovice actually means Budvar or Budweiser beer. So the original Budweiser beer came from this area of southern Bohemia. So I would say southern Bohemia. And Ed, here's a funny story. So the Czechs decided that since there was a beer producing company in the United States called Budweiser, that it was unfair for this company to be producing this brew. So they took Budweiser to the world court saying, just like champagne, you know, you can't call a California sparkling wine champagne if it's not from Champagne. So why should you be able to call an American beer a Budweiser? You know, if it's not from Budvar. So here's a little word of advice. When you're in the Czech Republic, do not order a Bud Light. It just cuts across the grain, doesn't sit well with the Czechs. It's not a proper beer as far as they're concerned. You've got to order a really nice Pilsner.
As ubiquitous as the word Budweiser is in this country, the United States, I guess I never thought much about its origins.
Right. And the Czechs drink more beer than any other people on earth per capita. They're consuming a whopping 43 gallons per year per person.
So is beer a common, I mean, is this like the welcome drink in Cuba?
Exactly. I mean, when you go into any pub here, you'll see rows of Czech men, you know, up against the bar, all ordering these beautiful, gorgeous, tall beers served in a very specific glass. Oftentimes, you know, it's accompanied with very good Czech meals, like, let's say, Czech duck with cabbage and Czech dumplings with a little bit of gravy on top, followed by a Czech apple strudel. Their soups are delicious. Today, I had a beautiful mushroom potato soup that was one of the best I've ever had. So the Czechs, I would say, are really good at winter comfort food that sticks to your ribs.
You have a lot of experience traveling in that part of Europe. How easy is the Czech Republic for a first-timer to travel in?
Oh, it's very easy. I would encourage everyone to come to Prague. Everyone speaks English. All the young people speak English, so language is not really a barrier here. Getting here is simple. You just, you know, if you're coming from the United States, fly into Frankfurt, fly into Paris, fly into Amsterdam or London, and then just get a quick one-and-a-half-hour jumper flight over to Prague. So it's pretty easy. And if you're on a budget, I would say that I was just in Paris, and Prague is probably about 30 or 40% off of what you'd find in some of the West European capitals. Dinner, you know, would be $15 here, $18. I went to the Marriage of Figaro the other night at the Estates Opera House. They have three glorious, beautiful opera houses, and this is where Mozart himself conducted the Marriage of Figaro and Don Giovanni. I mean, it's just, there's so much history here, and the best tickets in the entire house are $50 instead of, let's say, $300 in Paris or $400 in London. So there's a lot of great deals here, and you could Airbnb it and stay for $30, $40 a night. I stayed, my buddy and I stayed a couple nights ago in a four-star, beautiful little old Czech house that was renovated and made into this beautiful boutique hotel for $65 a night. You could never do that in Western Europe. So even though prices have come up in the Czech Republic in the last 15 years, it's still a bargain compared to Western Europe.
The Czech Republic used to, of course, be part of Czechoslovakia until those two countries, the Czech Republic and Slovakia, split off. How has the split changed the Czech Republic?
Well, you know, it's funny that you should ask that, because I was sitting at the municipal house last night where the Czechoslovak country was proclaimed in 1918 on October 18th. And from that balcony, and I was speaking to people about how the Czech Republic had changed and, you know, what the split meant. And I would say that I know a lot of Slovaks. I've been through Slovakia quite a few times, and I know a lot of Czechs. And whenever you ask them about the split, they're always sad. It was not a happy divorce. It wasn't a violent divorce. But there was never a referendum. The Czechs or the Slovaks were never, ever asked. The population, neither population was ever asked their opinion. The two presidents came to a deal, split the country, but most Czech and Slovaks kind of feel nostalgic for the period in which they were one.
And did they split the country in the wake of the USSR dissolving, or why did it split?
Well, you know, I've got some great Slovak friends, and they give me all sorts of little words that are different than the Czech Republic. They have their culture, they're all Slavs, right? So they all come from that Slavic root, and so are the Poles. And so are the Slovenes, and so are the Croats, and the Serbians. But the Czechoslovaks share a common religion. They're either Catholic or Protestant here. They have a common language. They have a common history. But the Czech Republic was always more advanced with regards to literature, industry, those sorts of things. Slovakia is kind of a sleepy, mountainous country. with four mountain ranges and pretty little villages, but not a lot of industry, at least not then. And, you know, for a lot of reasons, I think they decided that after being together nearly, 100 years, that it was time for a breakup. But the population, it seems, didn't feel the same way.
Matthew, you've spent a lot of time in the Czech Republic over the years, and how have you seen it change?
Well, you know, all of Eastern Europe has changed dramatically since the early 1990s. I first came over here in 1986, and at that time, and I would say even through the early 90s, all the buildings were gray. You could walk across Charles Bridge and practically be alone. It was very Kafka-esque. You know, the mood was dark and mysterious and intriguing and romantic. And it was so much fun to correspond and to go into a bar and talk to people about, you know, how things were changing and what they had hoped for. And now Prague is a major commercial hub. You walk down the streets, and for better or for worse, there's a McDonald's, and there's a Starbucks around the corner. And, you know, they have Gap stores and all the stores you'd find in any international city. So there's a lot of money pouring into this city, and it's become quite commercial. For me, anyway, what has happened to these cities is they've been very well preserved. They've, you know, lipstick and rouge has been put on all the buildings. However, they've become the inner core, the historic core of these great cities like Krakow and Warsaw and Bratislava and Prague, is that they've become too expensive for the local population. Mm. So Czechs will come into Prague on the weekend and they'll stroll and maybe they'll get an ice cream and they'll stroll across Charles Bridge and up to the castle, maybe have a coffee, but then they'll head home for lunch or maybe have a picnic by the Moldau. So I think that's, you know, that's maybe the downside that's happened here, is that a lot of the Czechs themselves probably find it a bit too expensive to enjoy the beautiful history and the architecture of this gorgeous city.
So the people living in Prague, I mean, are we talking mostly people with money or outsiders on vacation? I mean, who lives in Prague?
Well, either you have a home that's been handed down to you through the generations, and if you're that lucky to have had a grandmother or grandfather that had a place in central Prague and you still own it, you're quite wealthy today. I mean, Prague has quite, you know, expensive real estate. So there's a lot of people, and then there's a lot of nouveau riche here. There's a lot of, you know, people that have made money in the tech industry and manufacturing and opening up these stores and selling things. So you do see a lot of money here. But the average Czech doesn't make that kind of money. And, you know, when you come to Prague, everything you touch is going to be three or four times more expensive than it would be if you just went down the road to Telč or Olomouc or, you know, Český Krumlov or any of these other towns. It's expensive for Czech standards, but I think that North Americans with a strong U.S. dollar, the dollar is doing extremely well against the Czech crown right now. So it's a deal. I mean, Prague is a deal for foreigners at this moment, especially North Americans and West Europeans.
And the Czech Republic is not in the Eurozone currency-wise?
No. This is very funny. The Czechs have been talking about it for the last 10 years, the Czechs have been saying, we're moving over to the euro. So when you go to a restaurant, you look at the menu, and you'll see it's oftentimes noted in Czech crowns, which is approximately 23 Czech crowns to the dollar, and then you'll see below it euros. But with all the chaos that's happening in Western Europe in the Eurozone, the Czechs are not embracing this anymore. They're thinking like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. I don't think I want to be a part of this family right now. So it looks like they've put all of that on hold and they're happy with their Czech crown right now.
So everybody should see Prague is what you're saying, but budget-conscious travelers might also do well to get out of the city a little bit.
That's right. So, well, even if you're on a budget, go to Airbnb or even go to Hotels.com or Expedia and check out what you can get for under $100 in Prague. I mean, you don't have to stay in a youth hostel. You could stay at a really beautiful four-star boutique hotel for $65, $70 in Prague. So, you know, you'll do well there. If you eat in places and dine in places where the Czechs go, you can certainly dine for $15, $18. Beers are not that expensive here. Wine's cheap. So you don't have to leave Prague if you're on a budget. But once you get out of Prague, you're going to find that prices drop dramatically and your dollar's going to even go so much further. And you can rent a little apartment in a place like Český Krumlov, which is darling, and, you know, for $50, $60 a night and have just a tremendous time. I did that with my wife 10 years ago, and we spent a week there, and you know, we just couldn't believe how inexpensive everything was.
So Prague is something we should check off the list.
Ha! Yes, check Prague off the list. Yes, you should do that, Ed.
All right, Matthew Brumley, thank you very much.
Hey, thank you, and jikui.
Matthew Brumley is our travel expert and the co-founder of Earthbound Expeditions, joining us from a balcony overlooking Prague in the Czech Republic. He's with us every Thursday to talk about travel, and you can hear more episodes of Going Places on our website, kplu.org. I'm Ed Ronco.